Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom podstawowy. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań, sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One. In today's program, we are going to discuss how to make the most of your next run. Install a good running app on your smartphone, and you'll be able to get information about your speed, distance traveled, and calories burned. Some apps will even map out your route as you run. To help you choose, we've checked out a few options, which are especially suitable for beginners. But we've also found some specialist running apps for those who are planning to run a marathon. More details after a short break. Two.
After the 2018 Boston Marathon, an extraordinary photo was published in a monthly magazine called Runner's World. The photo showed an elderly woman who had taken part in the marathon. She had a raincoat round her shoulders due to the heavy rain which fell on the day of the race. The woman, who was well over 80, completed the route in 7 hours and 50 minutes and was one of the last runners to cross the finishing line. She was the oldest finisher that year. All she needed after the run was a glass of mineral water.
Three. I've always been open to trying new things. When I was a student, running without shoes on your feet, which is known as barefoot running, became extremely popular for a short time. This was all because of the book Born to Run, written by Christopher McDougall. I also started experimenting with barefoot running. I loved it, especially on grass, because it made me feel so close to nature. Nowadays, however, I almost always use proper running shoes. Four.
More and more people of all ages are taking up jogging as part of their fitness routine. Many of them think that running a few miles regularly is going to give them the perfect body. Research shows that this is simply not true. Jogging has some health benefits and you'll probably lose some weight, but it doesn't change your body much. When you sprint, however, you move your whole body as fast as possible. This means that sprinting makes you much stronger. If you like jogging around town, that's fine, but if you really want to be fit, find a track and start sprinting as fast as you can.
Five. After driving all night, a man was still a long way from his destination. He parked somewhere quiet so that he could get some sleep. Suddenly, there was a knock on his window and he saw an elderly jogger. "Excuse me," the jogger asked. "What time is it?" The man answered that it was 8:15. The jogger thanked him and left, but soon another one appeared and asked the same question. 8:25 was the answer. The driver didn't want to be woken up again, so he put a sign in his window saying, "I do not know the time," and closed his eyes. Soon, there was another knock on the window. "Excuse me, sir, it's 8:45.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
1. In today's program, we are going to discuss how to make the most of your next run. Install a good running app on your smartphone and you'll be able to get information about your speed, distance traveled, and calories burned. Some apps will even map out your route as you run. To help you choose, we've checked out a few options, which are especially suitable for beginners. But we've also found some specialist running apps for those who are planning to run a marathon. More details after a short break. Two.
After the 2018 Boston Marathon, an extraordinary photo was published in a monthly magazine called Runner's World. The photo showed an elderly woman who had taken part in the marathon. She had a raincoat round her shoulders due to the heavy rain which fell on the day of the race. The woman, who was well over 80, completed the route in 7 hours and 50 minutes and was one of the last runners to cross the finishing line. She was the oldest finisher that year. All she needed after the run was a glass of mineral water.
Three. I've always been open to trying new things. When I was a student, running without shoes on your feet, which is known as barefoot running, became extremely popular for a short time. This was all because of the book Born to Run, written by Christopher McDougall. I also started experimenting with barefoot running. I loved it, especially on grass, because it made me feel so close to nature. Nowadays, however, I almost always use proper running shoes. Four.
More and more people of all ages are taking up jogging as part of their fitness routine. Many of them think that running a few miles regularly is going to give them the perfect body. Research shows that this is simply not true. Jogging has some health benefits and you'll probably lose some weight, but it doesn't change your body much. When you sprint, however, you move your whole body as fast as possible. This means that sprinting makes you much stronger. If you like jogging around town, that's fine, but if you really want to be fit, find a track and start sprinting as fast as you can.
5. After driving all night, a man was still a long way from his destination. He parked somewhere quiet so that he could get some sleep. Suddenly, there was a knock on his window and he saw an elderly jogger. "Excuse me," the jogger asked, "what time is it?" The man answered that it was 8:15. The jogger thanked him and left, but soon another one appeared and asked the same question. 8:25 was the answer. The driver didn't want to be woken up again, so he put a sign in his window saying, "I do not know the time," and closed his eyes. Soon, there was another knock on the window. "Excuse me, sir, it's 8:45.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu pierwszego.
One. In a scene more like something from a movie than real life, Drivers on a highway near Atlanta last week stopped their cars to collect banknotes which had fallen out of a bank truck. Its back door was not locked properly, and it accidentally opened. At first, it wasn't clear how much money fell onto the highway, but today the police have announced that it was around $175,000. Police think that up to 50 people picked up some of the banknotes. The police spokesperson stated that no action will be taken against anyone who gives back the money. So far, two people have gone to the police. One of them gave back $2,100 and the other $500. Obviously, you may think it's your lucky day when banknotes start falling out of the sky, but keeping them is against the law. So if you have any, take them to your local police station immediately.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
In a scene more like something from a movie than real life, drivers on a highway near Atlanta last week stopped their cars to collect banknotes which had fallen out of a bank truck. Its back door was not locked properly, and it accidentally opened. At first, it wasn't clear how much money fell onto the highway, but today the police have announced that it was around $175,000. Police think that up to 50 people picked up some of the banknotes. The police spokesperson stated that no action will be taken against anyone who gives back the money. So far, two people have gone to the police. One of them gave back $2,100 and the other $500. Obviously, you may think it's your lucky day when banknotes start falling out of the sky, but keeping them is against the law. So if you have any, take them to your local police station immediately.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu drugiego.
Two.
Our guest today is Sean Holden, a safari guide in Kruger National Park. Sean, what made you choose this career?
After university, I worked in a big city as an accountant. It wasn't a bad job, and I must admit the salary was good. But the daily journey to and from the city was tiring. I drove 150 kilometers a day, often in heavy traffic. One day, I'd just had enough, and I decided to leave my job. I returned to my dad's farm, and it wasn't long before I got a job as a safari guide.
Please describe your typical working day for us.
I get up at 5 a.m. Each day, I guide a different group of clients, and I start by preparing the morning tour for them. To find out what kind of animals we can watch and where they can be observed, I go out alone just after sunrise. I look for animal footprints on the ground. Then I meet the other guides to exchange information and discuss the best locations for the morning and afternoon drives. Around 8 a.m., I share my plan with the day's group and off we go.
And what tips do you have for people going on a safari for the first time?
First of all, you should consider carefully what time of year you go on a safari. Generally speaking, the best time to see the animals is from May to September, because that's when it is sunny, cool, and dry here. It's the perfect weather for a wildlife expedition. And there are not many mosquitoes around at that time. On the other hand, between October and April, it is the rainy season, and the weather is very hot and wet here. However, you should choose this time if you want to see baby animals, because they are usually born then. But you should remember that there are lots of mosquitoes at that time of the year, which can be quite unpleasant. Anyway, whichever season you finally decide on, you are always welcome.
Thank you, Sean, for your valuable advice.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Our guest today is Sean Holden, a safari guide in Kruger National Park. Sean, what made you choose this career?
After university, I worked in a big city as an accountant. It wasn't a bad job, and I must admit the salary was good. But the daily journey to and from the city was tiring. I drove 150 kilometers a day, often in heavy traffic. One day, I'd just had enough, and I decided to leave my job. I returned to my dad's farm, and it wasn't long before I got a job as a safari guide.
Please describe your typical working day for us.
I get up at 5 a.m. Each day, I guide a different group of clients, and I start by preparing the morning tour for them. To find out what kind of animals we can watch and where they can be observed, I go out alone just after sunrise. I look for animal footprints on the ground. Then I meet the other guides to exchange information and discuss the best locations for the morning and afternoon drives. Around 8 a.m., I share my plan with the day's group and off we go.
And what tips do you have for people going on a safari for the first time?
First of all, you should consider carefully what time of year you go on a safari. Generally speaking, the best time to see the animals is from May to September, because that's when it is sunny, cool, and dry here. It's the perfect weather for a wildlife expedition. And there are not many mosquitoes around at that time. On the other hand, between October and April, it is the rainy season, and the weather is very hot and wet here. However, you should choose this time if you want to see baby animals, because they are usually born then. But you should remember that there are lots of mosquitoes at that time of the year, which can be quite unpleasant. Anyway, whichever season you finally decide on, you are always welcome.
Thank you, Sean, for your valuable advice.
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
Welcome to another episode of Interesting Facts. Today we are going to talk about giving names to children. Jack, could you tell us about the couple in New Zealand who wanted to give their son the name For Real?
Well, the problem was that the parents wanted to use the number 4 instead of the letters F-O-U-R in front of the name. And in New Zealand, the names of people cannot begin with a number. Finally, the couple picked the name Superman. Would you ever give your baby that name?
It certainly wouldn't be my first choice, but it seems to me that unusual names are becoming more and more popular. By the way, did you know that in Britain you can give a child almost any name you like?
Really?
Yes. The only names you cannot give in Britain are ones that could hurt people's feelings.
In other European countries, there are various restrictions about the names you can give to babies. For example, in Germany, you cannot use surnames or the names of objects or products as first names.
Oh, I had no idea. Do all European countries have the same rule?
I don't remember, to be honest, but I know that some countries have even stricter rules. For example, in Denmark and Spain, parents can only choose names for their kids from lists officially published by the Birth Registration Office.
That's interesting. I've also heard that in Iceland there is a special committee of names which decides if a name can be used.
Really? And how do they decide?
Well, the general rule is that people in Iceland cannot use foreign names. They are traditionalists in all areas of life, including naming their children.
Oh, that's new to me.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Welcome to another episode of Interesting Facts. Today we are going to talk about giving names to children. Jack, could you tell us about the couple in New Zealand who wanted to give their son the name For Real?
Well, the problem was that the parents wanted to use the number 4 instead of the letters F-O-U-R in front of the name. And in New Zealand, the names of people cannot begin with a number. Finally, the couple picked the name Superman. Would you ever give your baby that name?
It certainly wouldn't be my first choice, but it seems to me that unusual names are becoming more and more popular. By the way, did you know that in Britain you can give a child almost any name you like?
Really?
Yes. The only names you cannot give in Britain are ones that could hurt people's feelings.
In other European countries, there are various restrictions about the names you can give to babies. For example, in Germany, you cannot use surnames or the names of objects or products as first names.
Oh, I had no idea. Do all European countries have the same rule?
I don't remember, to be honest. But I know that some countries have even stricter rules. For example, in Denmark and Spain, parents can only choose names for their kids from lists officially published by the Birth Registration Office.
That's interesting. I've also heard that in Iceland there is a special committee of names which decides if a name can be used.
Really? And how do they decide?
Well, the general rule is that people in Iceland cannot use foreign names. They are traditionalists in all areas of life, including naming their children.
Oh, that's new to me.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.